Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's episode trigger warnings are foster sibling relationship, brother-sister kink, somnophilia, CNC, blood play, violence, and explicit sexual content.
I have a Spotify comment, and this one comes from S. Funditus.
I don't know. That's what it says.
And it says, your podcast is absolutely amazing. I've tried other podcasts, but none of them compare to this. I listen to these while I'm at work and people think I'm going crazy because of all the laughing I do. Keep it up, girls.
Thank you.
And this week, we're telling Riley all about Little Stranger by Lee Rivers. And how many stars did you guys give it on Goodreads?
So I will say this is a reread for me. The first time I read it, we were also covering Original Sin by Mila Crawford, and they were very similar, so I gave it a 3-star, and I will still give it a 3-star. Just not my jam. I'm not into brothers.
Fair.
I positively, absolutely loathed the first 63% of this book.
Wow.
I hated every single second of it. If it wasn't for the podcast, I probably would have DNF'd it. But 64% and on, I loved it. Like, literally, I wish I had a book from that point on, and it would have been a 5-star for me.
Oh.
But before then, hell no, girl.
I gave it a 4-star. I was the opposite of Jenna. I actually really liked the first chunk of the book. And I will say, before anybody shames me, I'm an only child. I don't have any stepbrothers or sisters. This kink doesn't affect me the way it affects other people.
That's fair.
It was taboo and forbidden, and I said, cute. Maybe this is just a book for the only children of the world.
Yeah.
Our female main character, Olivia, is 7 years old. Her and her adoptive parents are at the airport picking up her new 8-year-old brother, Malachi. As the woman dropping him off goes over all of his paperwork, Malachi grabs Olivia's hand and runs to the airport with her, bringing her to a men's bathroom. And the paperwork that the lady is going over is like the psychiatrist he needs, his therapy appointment. So he's a troubled kid, and he just grabs Olivia, books it through the airport, takes her to a men's bathroom. He's trying to sign at her, but she doesn't understand. So he doesn't speak. So he's trying to speak sign language to her. And then their parents burst in, and their father tells Malachi 2 more strikes and his ass is going to a new home.
Oh.
Which I would be super fucking pissed if my daughter got dragged through the airport to a men's bathroom.
Yes, I would. But I think you also have to remember that is a child.
Yeah. And Olivia was like wearing her favorite little princess dress. She's very excited to meet her new brother. And he's just like, he doesn't speak. He's very dark and brooding. He's been through some shit. They get back home and they're hanging out in their new shared bedroom. So they share a bedroom. He brings her in for a hug and grabs some of her hair, sniffing it, which he does in this book. He grabs a crayon and a piece of paper and just writes the word mine.
What?
Yeah. 5 years pass and they're thick as thieves. It's Malachi's birthday and Olivia plays happy birthday to him on her piano. He signs thank you to her and gives her a kiss on the lips. That night, his father drags him out of bed, and when he comes back in, he's visibly shaking, and Olivia has to hold him until he falls asleep.
A shared bedroom when the boy is 13 years old with your 12-year-old daughter is a no-go for me.
That's like a no for most people. It's well known once a kid's hit a certain age, and like if they're the opposite gender, you should separate them or like make changes necessary to give them each privacy.
Yeah, and they didn't do that. And I feel like this book probably wouldn't have existed if they did the normal thing and gave them their own rooms.
Also, they like live in a mansion too, which is, it wasn't a space issue.
Then why the fuck are they sharing a room?
It was to help acclimate them when they first got Malachi.
Okay.
Yeah, because he only likes Olivia.
Red flag.
Yeah, see, as the parents, I'd be like, I got my eye on you.
Mm-hmm. Eventually, he kisses her on the lips again in front of their parents, and that's when they're forced to stop sharing a room. Another 5 years pass, and Olivia sneaks into Malachi's room all the time to sleep with him. It's the only thing that helps her nightmares. She tells herself that lots of people probably sleep in bed with their brothers. It's totally normal.
No.
All of her friends want him, and she doesn't know why, but this irks her. Olivia is 18 now, and her feelings about him are starting to get confusing.
I love him. I really do. But I have strange thoughts about him sometimes. When my fingers slip between my thighs, or when I'm kissing someone else, it's shameless how many times his face has been at the forefront of my mind when I find my orgasm. Then I'd have to sit down for breakfast, or dinner, or supper with him. Our parents, too, and pretend I didn't just get off to the thought of my brother. Dinner and supper are the same fucking thing.
Yes.
But like, stop thinking about your brother.
She can't. Malachi just bought a pet tarantula that she is absolutely terrified of. She tells him she has to put gas in her car, and Malachi tags along. While she's inside paying, she sees an old classmate named Adam and starts to chat with him. After 10 minutes, Malachi storms into the gas station and smashes Adam's head into the wall over and over before grabbing his sister and dragging her back to the car. And that's all because it was a boy talking to his sister.
If I was that other kid, I'd be like, hey, you're fucking weird.
Yeah. When they get home, the cops show up and tell the family that Adam's family won't press charges on one condition. Olivia has to marry Adam.
What the fuck?
Even though her father has already promised her to someone named Parker.
What century is this? What the fuck?
This one.
I'm confused.
It's rich people things, Riley. We'll never understand.
Yeah, true.
Malachi signs to her that he'll kill anyone who touches her. That night, her mother comes into her room and tells her that as much as she loves Malachi, if he slips up one more time, they're gonna have to kick him out. And Olivia warns her that if Malachi goes, so does she. And so at this point, Malachi's 19 and she's 18. So, I mean, you can kick him out if you want to, I guess.
Yeah, full-grown adults.
Then her mother drops the bomb that Malachi was diagnosed with antisocial personality disorder, and now Olivia is scared that maybe Malachi doesn't love her the way she loves him. She sneaks into his room and catches him working out. He's trying to get her to hold the tarantula, but she screams and drops it as she runs to his bed, which I'm pretty sure can kill a tarantula. You can explode a tarantula if you drop it.
I think they're cute. Cute little guys.
I don't want them to explode, but I don't think they're cute. I would drop one if someone put one in my hand.
Yeah, I think I would too.
He climbs on top of her, covers her mouth up, and signs for her not to scream. But now she can feel that he's hard, and now he's on top of her and she's hella soaked. And she signs that she will not scream.
Before he gets off me, he pushes down so his cock runs against my clit, and I bite my cheek to suppress a moan. Sick. I'm so fucking sick. He isn't meaning to do it, but here I am, horny and wanting my brother to press his cock between my legs again. And the way it felt, he's well endowed, that's for sure. You are sick, and I'm sure your brother did that on purpose.
When she goes to tell him she'll sleep in her own room, she sees that he has a big old tent in his shorts, and he tells her to get into bed. He'll be there in a minute.
Oh my god.
He puts the spider away and goes to take a shower. While he's in the bathroom, she masturbates, thinking about how he's naked right now, but he comes back in before she can finish. They fall asleep together, and she wakes up in the middle of the night to him big spooning her.
I can't get back to sleep, especially since his cock is hard as granite and pressing against my ass. His arms tightening around me as I pretend to shift and rub my ass against him. Then I stop, freezing in place with my eyes wide. Did I just grind my ass against my sleeping brother's dick? He shifts, and his hand drops to my inner thigh, gripping it, and I stifle a whimper as his fingers dig into my skin. I want to slide his hand upwards to press his thick fingers to my clit, to feel his touch. Am I insane? Stop calling him as your brother. Say, like, stepbrother, adopted brother, non-blood brother.
Riley, it was the whole book. I'm not kidding you. Ever since, big brother, little sister, big brother, little sister. They fucking love this shit.
They're like, yeah, siblings.
Our kids are gonna come out with flippers.
Two siblings in a room, they might kiss. Yeah.
She turns over to see he's wide awake and glaring at her. He rolls over and runs his hands over his face like he's thinking about what the hell is going on. And then he grabs her hand and puts it on his dick.
He closes his eyes and raises his hips a little, making our hands rub against himself while he curls my fingers around him again and rocks his hips once more. We're brother and sister, I urge, but he's not listening as he drags my hand up to his waistband, pressing it to the taut muscles of his abs, the warmth of his skin, before sliding both of our hands down again.
She tried to tell him. He didn't listen.
Yeah.
He signs not to rub her ass on his cock then, and she asks if he sees her as a sister, and he just signs, "You're mine." 2 months pass, and now their relationship is more complicated than ever. They snuggle harder and sneak around even more. One night, she even wraps her hand around his dick while he's asleep, but pulled it away as soon as he started to wake up. And now it's time for the family camping trip, and they secretly hold hands in the backseat of the car. Their dad drops the bomb that the kids will be sharing a tent so mom and dad can have their own, and they're both like, dang it, shoot, nuts. Ugh,
not with my brother.
Ew. But also, the parents know that these two have been like little freaks?
No.
But I thought they had like an idea about how he's been like weird with her and shit like that, and then now they're like, you can share a tent. Yeah.
Nah, these bitches clueless.
Oh.
Yeah, they saw when they were like 13 that Malachi kissed her on the lips, and they were like, oh, let's stop sharing a room then. And they sneak around and do everything.
Gotcha.
Yeah. After they roast some marshmallows, their parents decide to go take a walk to stargaze, and Malachi drags Olivia to the tent and signs that he wants to see her as he pulls at her clothes and promises he won't touch her. She says she will, but on one condition. She'll take off an article of clothing for every question he answers for her. She asks if he did drugs when he was out with friends last night, and he signs, yeah. She asks if he remembers how to talk, and he signs, a little bit, but it's been a long time. She asks if his voice is deep, and he signs that he thinks so. She asks if he'll say her name, and he signs no. Then she asks if he sees her as a sister, and he won't answer. A few more questions pass back and forth, and now she's completely topless. He stares at her, and she sees that he's visibly hard. She asks why he attacked Adam, and he signs, because you're mine. She's now in just her thong and tells him it's his turn to ask questions. So he signs, if I asked you to touch yourself right now, would you?
I'm sure she would.
Yeah, she's been waiting for this.
I've watched you before. He signs with stiff fingers. You fuck yourself with your fingers a lot. With your curtains open. You've watched me through my window and with cameras in your room. My eyes ping wide. You have cameras in my room? Yeah. Stop changing the subject. You didn't answer my question. If I asked you to touch yourself right now, would you? First, you'll remove the cameras. He shakes his head and I slap his shoulder. Answer. I think I'd do anything you asked of me. I mean, you're not like nonchalantly sliding by the cameras thing, but like also, hey, that's scary.
He wants to keep an eye on his little sis.
His little sis.
So he pulls down his pants, standing there in just his undies.
Should I be looking at my brother's dick like it's my favorite meal? Probably not. I lick my lips, imagining the thickness of it sliding down my throat, making me gag as he forces each thrust, silencing my cries, robbing me of air as he slaps me across the face and growls at me to take every inch. Oh my God.
She's a freaky girl.
She is a freak. She's a nasty girl.
He rips off her panties and pulls her down to the ground, pushing her legs apart, signing to ask if he can taste her, and then she can touch herself. She says no, he can't touch her like that, but he's like, okay, so touch yourself. She thinks he's testing her, so she asks if he's serious. He is, and she's like, okay, but you seriously can never tell a soul.
I won't. Our secret, little sister. I screw my nose up and bat his hands from my legs. Please don't call me your little sister right now. He smirks, the dimple indenting deep. But you are my sister. My dirty little sister who's gonna touch yourself in front of me. Show your big brother what you sound like when you come. Yuck!
She starts to masturbate as he watches, and now he's rubbing himself too. He asks if he can touch her, and she says no. And as she comes, she wonders if he'd fuck her if she asked. She asks if he still wants a taste, and he sucks her fingers into his mouth. He goes in for a kiss, but she swerves him and tells him no. She tells him they're just going to sleep now and goes to turn out the lights, but he's not having it.
I'd say, you need to stop or I'm gonna go sleep in mom and dad's tent.
I'm gonna go tell mom and dad. He grabs her by the throat, signing not to ever silence him like that. Also, they aren't blood, so what's even the problem? They hear their parents come back to the campground, so she dives into her sleeping bag, and when she looks over at Malachi, he's faced completely away from her. They don't speak for weeks.
Oh my God. Weeks?
Also, this part, he put like a padlock on the zipper of the tent, and her mom like goes to like check it, and she's like, huh, they must be asleep.
I'd say, why the fuck is it padlocked?
What are you guys doing in there?
Yeah.
Olivia even tries giving Parker some extra attention at their house, but Malachi isn't taking the bait. And then he goes out on a date, and Olivia is spiraling. So she takes a book in the bath to get her mind off of things. When she goes back to her room, Malachi is there. She tells him, by the way, she threw out all the cameras, and he signs, not all of them.
He said, I still see you.
bitch you thought.
She tells him this isn't fair. He can't just sneak in here after ignoring her. He walks toward her, forcing her to fall back onto the bed. He pulls back the covers, motioning for her to get in. She's clutching her towel around her body and gets into bed, and he strips down to just his boxers to join her. She asks if he did anything with his date tonight, and he tells her no. He's not experienced, and he's only comfortable with her. Then he asks if she can teach him how to kiss, and she reluctantly agrees. They start smooching, and she tells him she likes being choked. So he does just that, and now they're dry humping over her towel, and she's already on the verge of coming.
Oh my goodness.
I know. Then she asks if he's ever touched a vagina before, and he says no. So she shows him how to do that too. He instantly gets the hang of it, and she tells him how good he's doing.
Good job touching my vagina, brother.
You're doing so good.
His cock is still concealed within his boxers, but completely tented, rock solid, as he pushes another finger inside and thrusts the head of his dick up the crack of my ass. What? The strangled moan I let out is cracked, and as another threatens to spill out, Malachi grips my throat so hard, no sound comes out. Mom's music is at its loudest, and I'm sucking on my brother's tongue while he fucks me with his fingers, his cock rubbing against my ass.
Wow, what a sentence.
Mom's music. He starts to suck on her nipples as she starts to come, and then her mom hears the commotion and comes pounding on the thankfully locked door, asking if everything's all right in there. When Olivia comes down, they hear their parents talking outside the door, and their mom is saying she thinks Olivia snuck out with Parker and she'll be calling his parents to set up the wedding soon. Also, Olivia was with Adam last week. She remembers because she had to get Olivia a morning after pill the next day, and their dad is like, I'm gonna go check on Malachi in his room. So they fully know that they're basically pimping their daughter out to these two men, and they're fine with it.
Oh my God.
Now Malachi is pissed and signs, asking why the fuck she needed a morning after pill. She doesn't want to answer and tell him that their parents arranged for them to sleep together and she didn't have a choice. They didn't even want to fuck, though. Adam isn't into her like that, so they agreed to fake it, but a maid overheard the plan, so they were forced to fuck with an audience. And it doesn't say who the audience was. Like, I don't know if they had to fuck in front of the parents, but they were made to fuck with proof.
Jesus Christ.
Malachi signs to her that if she fucks Parker, Adam, or anyone else, they're fucking dead. He disappears out the window, and then Olivia pretends she just woke up and asks her mom what all the commotion is out there. And her mom's like, oh, I thought I heard banging around. Go back to bed, sweetie.
What a dumb bitch.
Well, I mean, obviously they would care, but like, how much can you care when you're literally pimping your daughter out?
Yeah.
Her mom sold her virginity to Adam's family for like $5,000 or something.
At least 20K.
Right?
Yeah, at least.
During breakfast the next morning, she lets Malachi know that she's going to be staying with Parker tonight because their mom arranged it. He signs, good thing she's been practicing with him then, and tells her to meet him in his room. She ignores him and goes to call Abby, which is one of her friends, to go to the mall. When she's about to climb in her car, he rips her back by her hair and shoves her against the car, kissing her. She breaks the kiss, reminding him of the cameras in the garage.
If Dad were to look at the security system, he'd see his kids kissing, devouring each other like starved animals.
Ah! I just love seeing the kids get along.
Oh, look at them.
She pushes him off and he signs for her to teach him more stuff. She agrees even though she knows it's wrong. Later on, she sneaks out of her window to climb into his room to teach him stuff before Parker comes to get her. He tells her he wants to learn what she likes specifically.
I laugh. If you want to learn what I like, then being in a bedroom isn't that. You want to chase me around a cemetery, the woods, make me terrified while you fuck me? His pupils expand, if that's what you want. But not everyone likes that, I say, curling my fingers into the waistband of his shorts. Some people like to be serenaded, pleasured with love, and words full of meaning. Girl, you are a freak.
She grabs his dick and gets on her knees for him, telling him she wants to taste him when she kisses Parker, and then Parker can taste him too. She knows this is going to piss Malachi off, but she likes when he gets aggressive. He forcefully makes her give him a blowjob, and he's full on moaning when their dad yells for him to take it to his own room.
Ew.
He doesn't know it's Olivia.
Oh my
God. He just thinks Malachi has a girl over.
But imagine like your dad hearing you being like, ugh.
Yeah, I'd also be like, take it to your fucking room, weirdo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, ew, yuck.
He signs, I wonder what he'd think if he knew his precious daughter was the one sucking his son's cock like the filthy little fucking whore she is. Oh my God. okay, chill.
He has a way with words.
He comes and she swallows it, and then she leaves to go meet Parker. Parker ends up taking her to his friend's house, and after a while, she wants to leave, but he offers her up for his friends to take turns assaulting her.
Oh. Yeah, Parker sucks.
Yeah, and there's like 10 of his friends in that room.
Ew.
When they aren't looking, she sends Malachi her location and hopes he gets there in time before anything happens. Just as something is about to take a turn and happen to her, the door bursts open with a masked man holding a baseball bat, and she knows it's her big brother there to help.
Big brother.
He takes care of Parker and his friends, and then they go home where she unleashes her fury on her mom. She tells her parents next time they arrange a marriage, make sure the guy isn't a piece of shit, and offers her to sleep with all 10 of his friends.
Ugh, I hope they felt bad. Did they feel bad?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
They did feel bad about that.
They still suck, though.
Yeah. Well, her mom. I feel like her dad's just, like, in the dark. Because when her dad found out that her mom sold her virginity, her dad was, like, fucking pissed.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because that's weird.
Yeah, he's okay with the arranged marriage, but not, like, all the extra shit that her mom is doing.
He still sucks, but he's not... Her mom's definitely the enabler, like, of all of it.
She also lets them know that who knows what would have happened if her big brother didn't come to help her.
Thank God for him.
While her parents talk downstairs, they shower together. She tells him thank you, and he doesn't really need any more lessons. He's doing a pretty good job so far. But she asks if he wants to learn something to do to her, and he nods.
Get on your knees for your little sister, Malachi.
Do it, Malachi.
Do it.
She teaches him how to eat her out, and when she's close to finishing, she instructs him to do some more.
Stick your tongue out, I order him, and he glances up at me through his long and thick dark lashes, doing as I tell him. I move against the rigid tongue, and when it enters me slightly, I need to cover my mouth to muffle the moan as Malachi understands what I want and forces his tongue inside me, sucking and devouring and thrusting it in and out as he cups my ass with both hands, parting my pussy from the other angle. This pushes me more, and as his fingertips part my back hole, he alternates between sucking my clit and fucking me with his tongue. Oh my goodness.
Woof. He just wants to learn.
He does. A man who wants to expand his knowledge.
He fingers both of her holes while eating her out due to her instructions, and then she comes. She gives him a blowy to return the favor. Afterwards, she admits that she's worried she's going to catch feelings if they continue this, and he agrees but doesn't want to stop.
What do you mean you're worried about catching feelings? You guys already have feelings.
Oh, yeah.
What the hell? Their motto is like deny, 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 because they're siblings. So she's like, I'm just helping him learn how to eat people out and receive blowjobs.
Yeah, that's not normal, girl.
Every sibling does it.
Yeah. God, no.
Yeah.
It's been 3 months of their lessons, and he's being very territorial over her now, even more so than he was before.
Terrifying.
When she announces that she's going to Abby's for the night, he's pissed off, but she doesn't listen to him and deal with him. She goes shopping with her mom for the occasion. Before she's able to leave, though, Malachi tells her to go to his room later.
We'll move on to our next lesson, I whisper, and I want to hear your voice while I'm bouncing all over your cock, big brother. Oh my God.
They're really leaning into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God.
She leaves and he texts her asking if she can also teach him how to say her name. She says yes and then shops with her mom. At cheer practice later, she hears Anna talking with some of the girls about how Anna is sleeping with Malachi. And this is news to Olivia and she's fucking pissed.
That'd be true.
You're sleeping with my fucking brother?
I'm sleeping with my brother. Yeah.
She also feels betrayed because she believed him when he said that he's never done anything before and wanted to learn. She calls him before heading to Abby's house, telling him that he's a liar and a freak and to leave her the fuck alone. And she purposely called him because he can't talk back and explain himself.
Got him.
She gets home to grab some things before going to Abby's, and Malachi is there waiting to explain. She tells him to save it because she doesn't believe anything that he's gonna say. He kisses her and she tries to fight him off, but eventually succumbs to the kissing and starts kissing him back. She reaches into his pants, grabbing his dick, and then she gets on her knees.
I hope when you see others on their knees for you, you see me, your innocent baby sister. Oh, God. With your cock in her mouth. I hope when I'm out of your life, you miss this sight. Because as soon as you finish down my throat and I swallow all your big brotherly cum, you're gonna pack all your shit and leave. What the fuck? I need to stop right now.
It couldn't possibly get any worse, though. So.
No.
She gives him a little goodbye hate blowy, and he doesn't let her blow him till he finishes. He stops her, rips her off of his dick, and forces her to lay back as he kisses her and rips her pants off. He signs how much she means to him, and it's sweet until he calls her his property until they die. So he's like, you're mine. No one can fucking touch you. It doesn't matter if I die first or you die first. You're fucking mine.
A man who knows what he wants.
I guess.
Am I right?
Yeah, girl. She covers her face as she cries, and then he starts to eat her out. Just as she's about to come, they hear their dad calling for her.
My dad's voice comes from the bottom of the stairs, and I somehow manage to perch on my elbows while Malachi bruises my thighs with his grip, sweat coating my skin as my dad stands with my discarded jeans in his hand, mortification all over his face. Daddy, I whisper, my eyes rolling, falling back as my spine tingles, my breast turning tender as my brother keeps eating me out, despite my dad being present. He rushes up the stairs, stopping when he sees who's destroying his baby girl's pussy. No.
Don't worry. It definitely couldn't get worse after this, right?
No.
Couldn't.
Their dad pulls Malachi off of her and punches him in the nose. Malachi hits him back over and over again. When she tries to stop Malachi, he shoves her off, throws their dad down the stairs, and pulls Olivia by her hair down the stairs behind him and drops her at their dad. Her dad is limp as she's trying to talk to him to see if he can hear her when she feels Malachi kneeling behind her. He shoves her head down on their dad as he fucks her against her dad's unconscious body, and she hates herself for loving it.
Yeah, she should hate herself. That's like beyond... She should hate herself. Yeah, that's fucking weird. He's fucking you on your unconscious dad.
Yeah, there's blood everywhere.
What the fuck? Oh my God, I can't. I have no words. Go to fucking therapy. There's no fucking way you can watch your dad be beat the shit, thrown downstairs, and you're like, yeah, I'm still horny. Fuck me on his bloody body. No! No.
Once Malachi is done, she tells him to run to get a head start. He leaves and she makes sure her dad gets to the hospital. 8 years later, we're in Malachi's POV. He knows that she hates gifts, but showers her with them to torture her. Jewelry, chocolates, flowers. He was released from prison 6 months ago and he can't wait to make all her dark desires come to life.
I'll break her the way she broke me. I'm gonna make her terrified, make her scream for help while I fuck her tight ass and force her to show she's sorry. What? What did she do to you?
So after she called the cops to get her dad help, he got caught and got arrested. They're trying to get him to plead insanity for doing what he did to his dad, but he can't really talk or anything. So they just gave him like the shortest amount of time. Their dad's fine, by the way. I mean, he's
like in a wheelchair.
I was gonna say like mentally, I'm sure he's like mentally very unwell.
He doesn't remember.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, he has no memory of it. So he couldn't remember that, like, his daughter and his son fucked on top of his body.
Good. God bless him.
Malachi knows Olivia's schedule down to the minute and is just waiting for the perfect opportunity to pounce. He's at a costume store getting something for his upcoming stalking of Olivia because it's Halloween. He grabs an old gas mask with fantasies of Olivia sucking his dick while he wears it. He pays and leaves the store and pulls out his phone to watch the security cameras of Olivia arriving home to his gifts and cracking open the bottle of drugged wine.
Oh my God.
He does this next part pretty frequently, so just prepare yourself.
It's a Monday through Friday occurrence.
Yeah.
Weekends off.
Oh.
When he arrives at her house, she's passed out. He draws her a bath and puts her unconscious naked body in there, touching her. She moans even though she's unconscious and he starts to eat her out. This is a normal occurrence where he drugs her, he like pamper her unconscious body, touch her a bit, and then puts her to bed.
And then she just wakes up feeling refreshed and rejuvenated.
Yeah.
How is she like, okay, Monday through Friday, I can't remember how I do this every single night, but yeah, I do it.
He gets her out of the bath and then he starts fucking her. This is the first time he's fucked her unconscious body.
But not the last.
Yeah, not the last. He does mention that he'll start doing this every night now.
He's like, oh, I like this. Yeah.
They both come, which I put in parentheses. How does that work with an unconscious person?
When you come in your dreams, you come for real.
Oh, that's the motto. Okay. He tucks her in the bed and thinks to himself, yep, every night, this is gonna happen now.
Good grief.
And then he leaves.
Her vagina doesn't feel any type of way?
Oh, just you wait, girl. The last night that he was there, her apartment was just too dirty for Malachi. He took out the trash. He cleaned her dishes. She woke up the next morning. Malachi was watching her through the cameras in the house, and she was noticing nothing was out of place. But she did notice that the sink and the trash can were empty, and she was like, that's weird. Like, when did I do that?
I would be checking myself into, like, a mental hospital.
Okay, but you were waking up, you're bathed, you're feeling, you know, loosey-goosey, your trash is taken out, your dishes are done.
I'd be going fucking insane. I'd be like, how am I doing this? When am I doing this? Why am I not remembering this?
She's laying on the couch and she starts rubbing her thighs out because she's just so sore.
The reason you're sore and the reason your thighs are a little bruised is because I fucked you, Olivia, and you loved it. And it won't be the last time either, little sister. I will fuck you again and again and again until you lose your voice the way I did and silently cry until you realize you still love me. Oh, insane.
Malachi moved to the apartment on the same exact floor directly across the street so he can just like cutesy stalk her. And he gets on his bike outside, obviously following Olivia as she's about to get in her car. Only she starts walking directly towards him. And he's panicking because he's like, oh shit, is my helmet visor down? Like, can she see me? But he knows that she must have no idea it's him because she has a huge smile walking up to him.
Seeing her up close, conscious, and not through a screen or in my goddamn dreams knocks the air out of my lungs. As does knowing that there might be a trace of my cum inside her still. That her milky thighs are tender. Fucked and fucked and fucked. Okay.
Yeah.
She walks up to him and introduces herself, obviously trying to flirt. And he's sitting there not saying anything. And she gets hella embarrassed. And she's like, okay, well, I'm gonna go.
She's just flirting with him. She doesn't even know what he looks like under that fucking helmet.
Yeah, but she just sees like this dark, mysterious, hot biker guy. And she's like,
hey, hey.
I like what I see.
He could be a complete uggo under that.
He doesn't want her to leave, though. So he goes,
Kai.
When he was in prison those 8 years, he was practicing how to speak. The fewer the syllables, the easier it is for him to talk. And she looks at him and she's like, huh? And he says,
my name, Kai.
Just kidding. He says, my name, Kai. And she's like, cool.
She's like, all right, I'm going to walk away now.
No, she loves it.
She's like, ooh, you can't talk well. My brother can talk. I really liked him.
You remind me of someone.
So she's like flirting. She's got her little flirting game on. And this little interaction makes him almost want to forget his entire revenge plan that he has and just forgive her right then and there. But then Malachi remembers that she's not flirting with Malachi. She's flirting with Kai. And that makes him angry all over again.
She's flirting with another man.
It's been 8 years. What is she supposed to do?
And it's him.
Yeah.
Olivia steps away and comes back with a piece of paper. It has her name and her number on it, and also an invite to the Halloween party tonight. And Kai told her he will go. Kai and Olivia start texting, and she's kind of tempted to talk dirty, but Malachi says, this bitch is really about to hook up with a stranger? No, no. So Kai texts back, see you at 7. For the Halloween party, Olivia is dressed up as a gothic bride, and she is smoking hot. I'm not quite sure what Kai's, like, costume is. He has his gas mask on with combat boots and also a screwdriver. That's his costume.
He's clearly working at a noxious gas facility, Jenna. Oh,
yeah. Duh.
Where he fixes cars.
Yeah. He told her he would meet her there at 7, but he's intentionally making her wait. It's 8 o'clock now, and he's, of course, stalking her, and she keeps checking her phone in between dancing and drinking with her friends, and he won't be texting her saying he's here. Olivia went to get her next drink and then walks towards the fairgrounds, and he decided now was a good time to give her what she loves the most about Halloween, a nice scare. He pounces and drags her by the hair in between two tractors and then puts the screwdriver to her throat like a weapon. She screams, but he covers her mouth and says, shh. Then digs the screwdriver in a little bit more. This is what I do, is what he says. Our girl's hella soaked, and she says, what now?
I stare at her for a moment. So beautiful. So fucking mine. I'll give you a head start. My voice is rough, but I somehow manage to say those words without stuttering or overthinking the articulation of each syllable. I tip my head towards the cornfield. Run, little stranger. Hey, that's the name of the book.
That's the name of the book. You said it. She runs so far into the field that they no longer hear the party. And when it's deep enough, For his liking, he picks up the pace and finally catches her. Olivia isn't going down without a fight, though. They're like scrapping in this field. She kicks him in the face so hard it almost knocks his mask off, and he took her panties off and then scraped the ragged part of the screwdriver up her leg, causing a slight scratch but deep enough to draw a little blood.
"Open," I demand, pressing the handle of the screwdriver to her lips. She parts them, taking the handle into her mouth and flattening her lips. "Suck." My cock threatens to rip through my combats as it presses against her, but I refuse to let it free. This is about her right now, and I'm gonna make her cry. I wanna make her sob in both pleasure and pain, with fear and horror.
She is face down, ass up, and he takes the screwdriver out of her mouth, teasing it up her leg and over her booty and over her clit, and teases her pussy. And she moans, "Kai, please."
Kai, not Malachi. She's moaning another man's fucking name. Then I see her face, the way she looked at me when she told everyone how violent I was, how she wanted to be free of me, how she was scared of me. My anger builds, and I force the handle into her ass instead. Oh my God.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah. Also, Kai, Malachi, she's still moaning your name, sir.
Yeah.
So she has the whole screwdriver handle up her ass, and it's just the pointy part that's sticking out of her.
It's like a little tail.
Yeah. It's like a little metal tail.
Ooh.
He tells her to sit up and kneel, and she says, "Fuck you."
"Can I take it out?" I slap her across the face, grip her jaw, and free my cock. "No."
"No, you may not.
You're leaving that screwdriver in your ass."
She opens her mouth and he pauses for a second. We didn't talk about this part earlier, but Malachi has a very distinct piercing on his dick. So he has handlebar piercings, but he also has like a hoop.
Isn't that called like Prince Albert or something?
Jacob's Ladder.
I don't know why that was skimmed over.
And he had that earlier when they were fucking.
Oh yeah,
earlier.
He had that at when he was 19.
Okay.
So when he tells her to open her mouth and she does, he pauses for a second because he's like, wait, the second she feels or sees my cock, she might know it's me. But honestly, he doesn't fucking care. Then he face fucks the shit out of her violently.
Her eyes are on me, her mascara smeared down her cheeks, black lipstick on my dick. She's crying, but she's also rocking her own hips, enjoying her ass being pummeled by the screwdriver. Oh, forgot about that. My balls tighten, and as she hums around my thickness, I screw my eyes shut and shove her off me, making her scream when she lands on her back. Wait, he just like pushes her off his dick?
And then makes her sit on the screwdriver so the whole...
Oh my God! Yes. Oh my God!
So the whole thing's in her
Oh my God. No. Mm-mm. I'd get up and waddle away.
I have to go shit this out.
Yeah. I ain't going to the hospital.
So she's laying on her back now, and he starts fucking her. He covers her mouth while also choking her, and Olivia fucking loves it. Like, she's not having a horrible time.
I need the screwdriver to come out. I need it to come out before I can enjoy any of this.
She comes around his cock, and he's coming too. She's now drifting in and out of consciousness. Again, this blissful moment is shattered because she just let a stranger do that to her.
Yeah, you did.
She tries to tell him something, but he doesn't want to hear her, so he takes a little cloth out from his pocket and puts it over her mouth, and it was chloroform.
Yeah, I was just about to ask.
Night-night.
He drives her unconscious body to a farmhouse that he bought a few weeks ago. So Kai's kidnapped her. Olivia's still out, and she's literally chained up in a basement from her wrists, and she has a collar around her throat, her ankles are shackled, and she's still in her Halloween costume. Kai has a ski mask on, as well as the gas mask on top, just in case she tries recognizing his eyes. And when she comes to, he demands that she eats, and he's like force feeding her while also fingering her.
Oh. Yeah.
Also, I think the screwdriver's out of her ass, so if that makes you feel better.
Oh, God.
He took the screwdriver out while she was unconscious. There was no sphincter action, so he was able to just pluck it right out.
Yeah, it slid right out.
So his plan is to basically make her pay for the 8 years that she stole from him, and maybe keeping her there for 8 years. We don't know. We don't know what his like revenge plan is, only that he has one.
Okay.
She tries bargaining with him and says that if he takes his mask off, she'll suck his dick. And this makes him super angry because he's like, "I'm your captor. Like, what do you mean you'll suck my dick?"
She's really into it for some reason.
I love that that just angers him. He's like, "What?
You're supposed to hate this.
You're gonna suck my dick?"
She's like, "My brother's gonna find you and he's gonna beat the fuck out of you." And he's like, "You're a dumb bitch. If only you knew, girl."
He says, "Surprise, shawty. I'm your brother."
He takes his gas mask off and he starts laughing and says, "A deal's a deal." And the ski mask, the balaclava, is still on under. So she's like kind of just conned into giving him a blowjob now.
Oh, dang it.
She enforces the imprisoned Gluck Gluck 3000 and finally noticed that he has piercings.
Brother!
After she gave the imprisoned Gluck Gluck 3000, he chains her back up the wall and he starts smoking a cigarette and then takes his cigarette tip and trails like millisecond quick burns all over her body and then like sucks on them. And under her tit, he burns his initials into her.
Ugh.
And then sucks on her titties until she comes.
How is she coming? I don't understand.
She loves it.
She a downright freak, girl.
This is Disneyland for her.
But she's literally like kidnapped. She doesn't know if she's safe.
She doesn't want to be safe.
Oh my goodness. This is how I know I'm vanilla.
Yeah.
She passes out right after, but I keep going. I lick at her clit, adding a third finger, fucking into her with them as I massage her ass. Then I pull my fingers out and walk behind her to kneel, parting her ass cheeks with my hands and using the wetness from her cum to lube up her puckered hole. It's staring right at me, like it wants to have a conversation, so I silence it by burying my tongue inside.
He says, shut up, asshole.
How is she trying to sleep with all this happening still?
Yeah. If someone's licking around my little booty hole, I'm awake.
Later, when she wakes up, he's fucking with her again. And Malachi's laughing because, again, she's like, my brother will fuck you up. And he's thinking, she's so fucking stupid. I can't wait to marry her.
Freak.
He decides he wants to fuck her ass while she's riding a chain that's in between her legs that's holding her off the ground. So she's like suspended from her pussy. And he's like, ride the chain, rub your clit on it while I fuck your ass. And he slits his wrist and uses his blood as lube. And he's never had butt sex before, so this is his first time.
Aww. Blood would not suffice.
No.
It's official. I, Malachi Vise, hereby swear to be an ass man now, forever and always. I will gratify my needs by burying my cock in my sister's tight back hole. Oh my god.
When he went to prison, they got rid of Spikey, who was his tarantula, and he just got a new one now, and he's letting this tarantula crawl on top of Olivia and like letting it crawl all over her face, and she's begging for him to take it off.
It said like while she was sleeping, he put the tarantula on her and the tarantula made webs all over her body.
No. There was like spider webs across her titties.
I'd say set me on fire.
She begs him that she'll do anything. And he tells her in his broken sentences that he tried to disguise by kissing her neck, that he likes the way she screams.
I move her hair over to the other shoulder, tugging down my pants to free my cock, and press it to her entrance. Scream louder, I add as I force my cock into her pussy from behind. And her lungs expel the most arousing fucking sound, her head thrown back. My pet is crawling up the side of her face, and I can see the fear in her expression. It makes me chuckle. The itsy bitsy spider, I whisper against her ear, sliding in and out of her cunt, climbed up the water spout. Okay.
That would be like, I'm not having fun anymore.
Yeah. Red.
I'm done.
Red.
Yeah.
I'm tapping out. Uncle.
This is one exhausted, fucked out, imprisoned sister. She immediately snoozes, so he carries her to the bathroom, washes her and puts cream on her cuts, and then brings her to bed to snuggle. He rolls her on her back and squeezes her throat, waking her up. He wants her to be awake while he fucks her missionary.
Her widening gaze flicks between both of my eyes, and I bury my face in her neck as I rock my hips into her, slamming so hard the headboard rattles against the wall. I inhale, smelling her hair, the freshness of it, and my cock tingles as it thickens. Malachi?
All it took was a good hair sniffing.
And she said, that's you? Not his penis? Not what how he talks to her, not his fucking spider, but him sniffing her hair.
He's like, wait, did I just imagine that? But nope, she says it again. He tries getting away, but she wraps her legs around him, trapping him, and removes the ski mask. They have a moment, and she's like, you can fucking talk!
That's all you have to say? That's the first thing you have to say?
He tries to talk, but nothing comes out, so she kisses him. He's still pumping inside her until she pushes him off and straddles him, getting on top. They both come, and it's magical. And finally, Malachi is able to say what he wasn't 8 years ago. He told Olivia that Anna lied and that she was his first and only. She had a feeling it was him this whole time, and she wanted him to punish her because her testimony was why he was locked up. Malachi tells her everything he's been up to since he's been out of prison. The house they're in right now is actually their house that he bought for them to live together. And she's like, hold up. No. Just because this all happened and we just fucked again, I don't forgive you for nearly killing our dad. And I don't want to live with you and I don't love you. She left him like 1,000 voicemails while he was in prison. And there was one specific one where she laid her heart out for him, begging him to tell her that he loves her and that he means the world to her and that she will admit that she feels the same way because she loves him so much it hurts. So that's what he does. He uses his voice and tells her exactly that. And he apologizes for what he just did. And she tells him that she's getting married and she cannot back out due to the agreement that she signed. She also says that because of his diagnosis, she doesn't know if he knows how to feel the same way, which I think is kind of rude because, like, is his diagnosis even correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's crazy, but I don't think he's a psychopath. Oh, maybe.
Maybe. I mean, he shoved a screwdriver up her butt.
He knew she would like it.
Yeah, I guess you're right. People do that all the time. Someone in America right now could be shoving a screwdriver up their ass.
Oh, I'm sure.
She tells him that she needs to go and he needs to let her leave. If he does, she will forget any of this ever happened. But he doesn't want her to go. He's never been chosen and he just wants her to choose him. For the first time ever, he starts crying and says her name that he's never been able to pronounce and drops to his knees begging her not to leave and to accept his version of love and that he loves her. She has a tear run down her cheek and she gives him a sad smile and then just walks past him. We're in the epilogue. It's 2 weeks later. It's the day Olivia is supposed to marry her controlling dickhead fiance Xander, and she's begging her mom if there's any way to get out of this. Her mom tells her that she's just being dramatic, and Olivia's like, you know what? After this, we are done. Never speak to me again. Just to kick her while she's down, she's like, also, when you called me, I was with Malachi. And her mom's like, what do you mean with Malachi? And she's like, I was with Malachi. I was fucking him.
Oh my God. Also, she's like 20-something. Like, you don't have to marry this man if you don't want to.
Yeah, stand the fuck up.
She tells her mom that she doesn't forgive him for what he did to dad, but they're not blood related and she can't stop him from loving him. Yeah, that's right. She's in love with Malachi.
No way.
Yeah, that's right. I love my brother.
Yeah.
Her dad comes in and asks to speak to her too, and they have a father-daughter moment, and she finally reveals to her dad that she loves her brother too in more ways than one.
But it's fine, Daddy, because you don't remember him beating the shit out of you.
Yeah. Or fucking me on top of your body.
Yeah. Or you seeing him eat my puss.
Her dad doesn't understand, but his hatred for Malachi doesn't cloud his love for Olivia. He tells her he will try to get her out of this marriage and to free her from this life. Her dad dropped the bomb that Malachi started seeing a therapist 2 weeks ago, and she was like, what? And he's like, oh yeah, I've had private investigators following him since he got out of prison. I pulled my PIs a little after he spoke to you on his motorcycle. But he's been keeping tabs on him, knowing that he's seeing a therapist, and he also started seeing a speech-language pathologist, and also started taking medication.
Oh, good for him.
Aww.
He wants to change. Her dad leaves to give her a few moments before she has to get married, and she's looking around the room looking for cameras, talking to no one, but hopefully Malachi, asking him to stop the wedding and that she should have chosen him. The day after she got home from walking away from him, there was a note on her counter saying that he took all of the cameras out, drew a mustache on their mom's picture, and his phone has been disconnected since, and she hasn't heard or seen him since then. She's walking down the aisle with her dad, and he promises to get her out of this life, but just to smile and stay calm. She's having a full-blown panic attack, and her soon-to-be husband is seething, telling her to keep walking and to stop embarrassing him now. She looks at her mom, who shockingly sighs and nods in agreement, and her dad kisses her cheek and says, "Go, be happy." She drops her flowers and turns and bolts down the aisle outside. She hails a taxi cab to take her to the house he brought her to on Halloween, their house. An hour goes by and she's finally there. He's stunned to see her, and when he says her name, it's clear, pure, and full of love. She runs and throws herself into his arms and declares her undying love for him, and he tells her he loves her too.
Oh.
Instead of immediately taking her in the house and going on a trip to Poundtown, she dares him to chase her and make her beg for it. And he says, "You better run, little stranger." And this is also the second part of the epilogue, but in Malachi's point of view. In the 14 days Olivia has been gone since walking out, he got the whole entire house renovated. When she started running, he goes into the house and grabs his good old trusty screwdriver.
Oh, God.
He catches her in the woods, and then it's playtime.
When I lean down and drag my tongue against her pussy, she moans and drops fully onto her back again. I suck on her clit through her underwear, biting and ripping the fabric to make a hole. I close my eyes and savor the taste of her, all mine. She cries out as I force my tongue inside her. Then I pull my face away and push the handle of the screwdriver in as far as it can go, chewing my bottom lip and watching her pussy swallow the handle. Olivia's soaked, throbbing, needy little pussy.
But what about the sharp end?
He takes the screwdriver out after a little and starts using his finger, driving her to orgasm. Then he tells her, "Girl, you are mine. You've left me twice, and there will not be a third." She apologizes and tells him how much she loves him. And he's like, "Cool. Will you marry me?" And she says a million times, "Yes." He fucks his sister fiance, and it turns into passionate lovemaking. Once back home, he vows to keep her safe from Xander, no matter the cost. From the moment he met her, he swore to himself he would protect her, and that won't change now. The end.
Wow.
So, Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
I don't know. This one, like, wasn't my favorite. I think I give it 3. I'll give it 3.
Okay.
That's fair.
3 big brother red peppers.
Ah, no.
Do you think Malachi is sexy?
Not really, no. This kink is not for me. I have a brother. That's it's fair. Not for me.
Would you trade places with Olivia?
No. Not at all.
Well, next week we're telling Riley all about The Brutal Prince by Sophie Lark, and we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about. And if you recall, Sophie Lark also wrote Minx.
That's right. I think it's going to be in the olden times, and it's going to be possibly like medieval-y, kind of like that, you know? Okay. And there's going to be this family, and they're going to, one family's going to have the prince, one family's going to have the princess, but the prince is going to kind of suck. I don't know why, but he's gonna. But like I think the princess's family is going to be kind of shady, but they're going to link up. But then the princess is going to fall for somebody other than the prince, because the prince kind of sucks. It's going to be like another guy, a peasant of sorts. I don't know. But yeah, how'd I do?
Not at all.
Dang it.
Well, we'll find out next week.
Yes, we will.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at @SmutUpAndListenPodcast and on TikTok at @SmutUpAndListen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.